Let us continue forth in our continuum. Take out your document, and for our visitors, ushers in the back, there should be some excerpts. As it relates to the documentation everyone repeat after me. Scripture comprehensions of measures.
Scripture comprehensions of measures.
The matrix.
The matrix.
Let us go to page 30. Where we've been for quite a while, and of course for the next two or three outings. There are many nuggets to pull out of there, this passage. Amen. Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. Take our Bibles. We're back into Romans chapter 8. I said, Pastor, we've been there a long time. There's a lot there. Here Paul makes definitive differentiation between spirituality and physicality. That is what is spiritual, which is what is real, and what is physical, which is confined to manifestations and testimonies. And as you read this, if you're not able to distinguish that, you would think that maybe he's speaking of things in saying one thing and then coming back and contradicting it. You got two spheres here. You got two spheres. You got what is spiritual,
right,
which is the essence of what things really are. Then you've got a medium there which we call the matrix. I want you to go back into the front of your document for a minute. And I have a glossary of definitions. You know, as I said to you, I sat on this thing several years about the matrix. And then one day I was going through internet, and up pops a very popular movie. I understand it made a lot of money. I waited, of course, until it came to television to watch it. Amen. And then it came to me, why not? Why not? In our glossary of definitions, Brother Deacon, why don't you read what matrix is? Everybody got that in front of your document. Matrix.
The definition of matrix: visual representation or indications in grids and or patterns of measurements for testimonial documents only.
The testimonial documentation. In other words, it is a communication medium. We call it life. It is life in the sense of testimony. But it is confined to its purpose. Visual representation and indication. It's in patterns. It's in measurements. as we conveyed in the doctrinal conference, where things actually are, there is no sequencing. There is no measuring. How can you measure what God has done? But in manifestations, in the medium of the representations of matrix, things are sequenced and they are laid out in patterns for his communication to his beloved and also for all to see, even the principalities and the powers. And they get a chance to observe. But we who are God's people, we are privileged, we are enabled to grasp beyond the surface element of what is visualized before us. We are privileged, we are blessed to go behind the curtain as God, so to speak. And not only do we see what and when, but how and why.
Yes.
Which is all confined to God's purpose, God's will, God's agenda.
Yes,
you know, it's like we have agendas. We have plans. We don't think God has one. Your life is coursed. It was coursed in eternity. Every bit of every instance of every act of every occurrence is coursed. Pre-planned. Pre-purposed. If you don't understand that, you think you're out there and you think you're doing things and you think that. We have to understand the difference between the spheres. The spirituality, realness, exactness.
Yes.
Where things are. No sequencing. No interruptions. No changing. Versus the matrix in our lives, where everything is challenged. And everything is changing. And we have to know the difference between the two. Let's turn to that fifth verse of the eighth chapter. Let's go back to page 30. Of Romans. Brother Deacon, for the sake of time, we'll just read that fifth verse. Now we've been on this quite a while, and again, what is outlaid here is the difference between the realness of spirituality and the manifested purpose of physicality. We are in the realm of God from the fact that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, he placed us in him before creation. That's you. That's the you. That's the essence of you. We are who we are in relation to who we are in him. We abide in him. Those of us who are in Christ, new creations right now. Not we're going to be. Essence of our being is that we're in him. Everybody say in him. This is the difference, and Paul was talking in that 7th chapter. We're not going back there today, but about the dilemma that he was in. You know, he said, here I am, and I'm in my flesh, and yet I know I'm in the body of Christ. And there's a conflict going on here. But I want to do good. Mm-hmm. Eve is present all about me. And the thing that I should do, I don't. And the thing that I shouldn't, that I do. And this thing is somehow got me baffled. When I look at it strictly from what we call the matrix of life. Why can't I always act the way that conforms with who I am?
Bring it out, Pastor. Bring it out.
This is what Paul is asking. Then he said, this could be quite frustrating. He said, who shall deliver me from this mess? I'm just paraphrasing. Then he gives an answer. Saying the spirit. In the essence of spirituality, I serve the Lord.
Yes, yes.
In the flesh, I serve sin. Then he says, there's no condemnation to who I am in Christ. Which is really who I am, because who you are in the flesh is temporary. And so now as he moves down through these verses and he speaks of the law and sin, and he said now all of that is confined to the flesh. And I'm free in the spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because that's who I really am.
Really
am. And in verse 5 and 6 he lays out something. He lays out two spheres. Brother Deacon, read 5 and 6. Everybody got Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Say amen. Go ahead.
We're reading from the 8th chapter of Romans, beginning verse 5, from the King James Version. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Now, there's quite a bit of editorizing going on there in this translation, and so we're going to go to the Greek interlineal. And those of you who have it, follows those that don't, just follow along in your translations and know if something sounds different, it's because it is different, because at least when we're in the interlineal, his feet are held closer to the fire as to convey that which is actually from the manuscript scripting.
Right.
All right, read.
Now Romans chapter 8. Verse 5 from the interlineal Greek text. For the according to flesh being.
The you see that word? You see that word there? Being. Ondes is the Greek word. It's speaking of that which is actualized, existing. Which there's some discrepancy there as it relates to the flesh. It's there in manifestation. It's there for a time. But Now you see it and what? Now you don't. And the criteria for existence is that it is.
All right.
It is means that it's not going to disappear. There's survivability in it. That's the difference between you and the body of Christ. And you and I in physicality, in the flesh, in the matrix. Everything that you're doing now, as important as it is, you can go back a couple thousand years or even a few hundred years or even, amen, just a few years. And what was being done at that time was so important. How important is that now? Now you go and do it. We say it to the young people going to school and thank God that among our midst we see those that are going to secure education and skills and jobs and so forth and so on. And you're functioning in the matrix. That's not your abode. You're just passing through.
That's it.
When you talk about your actualized existence, of where you are, the survival aspect of what is, you're strictly in the spiritual realm of things being according to God that exists solely in his having said it. Go ahead, Brother Deacon.
For the according to flesh being the things of the flesh mine.
Okay, stop. Here you have the Greek word phronosin, which basically speaks of that which actually relates. Follow me now. I'm going to take my time this morning.
All right.
I am going to be timely also. When you look into the essence of relativism, or relativity, something means what relates to what. You must distinguish that the essence of actuality, of what is real, relates to God. And whatever relates to God is, it's not sequenced. There's no such thing as here today, gone tomorrow. It's what abides. It is what has survivability. And here has he juxtaposed, as he compares the essence of what is and the testimony in a grid or matrix. What stands out here is that one is survivable and the other one isn't.
Isn't.
Have you finished that verse 5 yet?
Not yet.
All right, finish verse 5 and let's go to verse 6. And here's where we'll pull this together.
Continuing verse 5. But the according to spirit. The things of the spirit.
Now when he goes to 6, he tells you what is corollary or what is the result of physicality versus the abiding reality of spirituality. Read.
For the mind of the flesh.
For the mind, the essence of it, the consideration, the relation of the physical, of the flesh,
death.
Thanatos. Now let's stop and define death. Because we get a little confused. The underlying essence of death is separation. We talk about physical death. You're talking about one who passes out of the matrix and has no more participation in it. Oh, yeah, that's a memory there, but there's no more participation. That is the extent of everything that is physical. Separation. And thank God, the flesh falls into that category.
Amen.
This body of man. I woke up twice last night in pain. And sometimes I wake up in the morning and boom, there's a pain. Where did you come from? And see, my name is, and you can put in the name you want to, Arthur. Writers. Younger people, you have no idea what we're talking about. I remember years ago in the church became the elderly people would come through the door. Mother challenged the Grimes. Oh, honey, I could relate to that. I can now. They're all gone now.
Yes.
But the pains that they had are also gone.
Oh, glory.
Hmm.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. This is why we don't put all of our marbles in the bag of physicality and time in the matrix. Because the end is separation.
Separation.
Finish that, Brother Deacon.
But the
stop.
Mind.
That is what we call what? I'm talking about that conjunction there.
Super
ordinating conjunction. That means that what we said about physicality, this triumphs over it. What we get ready to say now about spirituality, you and the spirit,
glory.
It just overshadows what we've just said about physicality.
Glory.
So that is also what you call a strong adversative conjunction. Yeah, this is the way. This is.
But,
you know, sometimes you said, now see, this is happening, but let me tell you something, which means that what I'm getting ready to tell you now, it's just almost going to wipe out what I've just previously said. Read.
But the mind of the spirit, life and peace.
What is corollary? What is the result?
Amen.
Life.
Lord.
What many of us are calling life now, it's not life because it comes to an end. Everybody say eternity.
Eternity.
No. There are those that skirt around Paul's writings, our gospel. The grace covenant, because this man, as the God has given him this revelation of the mystery, it's embedded in eternality.
Sure is.
And it's easy for me to come here and give you the Old Testament story about the children of Israel crossing, and that's fine. Amen. Going around the walls of Jericho. And seven times they gave a shout, and then I say, you can shout it out, you know, and everybody get all happy. But to go into the inner depths of God's purpose and His word, of the how and why, as we get that, we're not stuck in when. Because we know that in eternality all things are complete.
Yes.
And your life is not about just what you do from day to day. Our lives are not even just really about one another. In the matrix, yes. Paul 1:8, he said, my life is Christ. That's the bottom line. Who we are in Him. Who we always were. That's what life is. My friend, the only hope there is an eternal hope. As we shall see as we move to the next verse of Scripture. The only life that is survivable is your life in Christ. So you have life in what? Life in the last word.
Life and peace.
Peace. It's not what you want. You know why it is so elusive in the matrix? Because you look in the mirror and you're trying to adjust things. But you can't adjust. I mean, I'm talking about a mirror. You stand before a mirror, and you can stand there and not make a move all day long. You know what's going to happen in the mirror? Nothing. No movement.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And if you want to change something, you're not going to change it by reaching into the mirror. No, the essence of your life is your spiritual being in Christ.
Amen.
And what's happening in the matrix has all been pre-planned and pre-programmed.
Yes,
for God's purpose. Let's hold that a minute. Don't turn from that. Let's go to Colossians 1:16. And I'm going to continue to do this.
All right.
As we did in the conference. To know what life and existence is about. It's not about where you work and where you know, are there components of that? Yeah, strictly confined to testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Because where you live, you won't always, quote, live.
Amen.
Where you work, you won't always work.
Right.
What your occupation is now won't always be your occupation. You all better hear me this morning. And what relationships we have now will not be forever.
No,
I hear you.
But oh, there's a greater relationship. Oh my God.
Yes.
If our focus of relativity is about Him, read that, Brother Deacon.
We're reading from Colossians chapter 1, beginning verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
From the King James Version.
Yeah, that's King James. And then we're going to go to the Greek right quickly.
For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him. And for Him.
All right, let's go to the Greek. Those that don't have the Greek, just follow along in your translation.
Now, Colossians 1:16 from the Interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Him.
Stop. Look over into your King James and you see by. That Greek word there is in. was too strong for them.
Amen.
That said, creation is in him. That was too strong.
Amen.
It said creation is by him, which means his creation over here is remote from him. Using the Greek, the modern Greek pronunciation, if you look at those letters, it's Eastern knee. In him. Read.
Because in him were created.
Were created.
Yes.
God's not daily creating things.
Amen.
Daily making decisions. Standing back, waiting to see what you're going to do so he'll know what he has to do.
Oh, help us, Lord. Oh.
We treat God as an equal, a colleague or something, you know.
Oh, glory.
He told Job, that, Job, you know, where were you when I did this and that now? Here we want to help God run the universe.
I hear you. I hear you. I hear you.
God help us. But see, it's those Old Testament stories that have gotten us in trouble.
That's it.
Because they were, it is conveyed from their vantage point of understanding and tying to covenants that were lacking the information that is in the mystery.
That's right.
This is why, Brother Deacon, we're going to spend as much time. Don't you rush. I don't ever want to come upstairs and see you rushing through anything. If you are on that document, what is the revelation of the mystery 5 years from now? Amen.
Amen.
You've got to know the difference between spirituality and physicality. And here, as he conveys in this 16th verse, he's talking strictly spirituality. Read.
Because in him were created the all.
And yet you do have the definite article there. So all means what? All.
Oh, absolutely.
Read.
In the heavens?
In the heavens now. This thing of heaven, of course, I don't want to get off on that because I want to get back around. I hope to finish up the day. As that word is used in the scriptures, somehow we reached out and grabbed New Jerusalem in Revelation. But here, as he conveys, if you're talking about a sphere and you're talking about in Christ, it is plural in the heavenlies. And here, as it speaks, he's speaking about the cosmos, the universe. As they convey the observances and the occurrences.
Yes.
In the heavens and what?
And on the earth.
On the earth. You notice, in the heavens, on the earth.
Yes.
So what's going on the earth? Read.
The visible.
Whether you see him.
And the invisible.
Whether you don't see him. You don't have to see it for it to exist. God's not obligated to manifest everything and reveal everything. And some things he will and some things he won't.
That's
why sometimes if I'm praying and I'm looking for an answer to something, you know, I've closed that prayer, Lord, your will. Because I'm saying if it's not your will to reveal it, amen also.
Amen also.
whether thrones or lordships or rulers or authorities,
all things
through him, and for him, have been created.
Having already been created, that is in the aorist tense, that means it is complete. Now, where does it say anything in there about our participation? Our input. We've sung songs, in the past that got us all mixed up. You know, if you make one step, he'll make two. And the Lord will do this if you let him. If I'm out here, I'm a pretty preacher. And I can deny God something. Listen to me this morning. Aorist tense means it's already done. Your life is coursed already. It is complete. And the bottom line of your life, let's go back to Romans 8 and 5, 8 and 6 rather.
Amen.
The bottom line is what? Completion.
Completion.
You know, this passage Paul writes, say, he is our peace. Our problem is we're looking for peace in the wrong place. We're looking in the matrix for
people. Yes, we are.
You pick up the paper, news isn't news unless it's bad news.
I hear you.
We're looking at what we do and what's around us and our surroundings, our environment. And I'm not saying you don't go out there and, amen, and as God allows it, yes, participate in it and amen. Don't you depend upon anything that's out there but God.
Amen.
That's it. Amen.
And have confidence.
Yes. Amen.
That is complete. And it's for you, not against you. He has guaranteed us peace. But it's not in the physical sphere.
No. Hallelujah.
Old Testament, man's born of a woman, a few days and what?
Trouble.
The best part is few days.
Few days.
Not long. Not long. I tell the story sometimes. I go to the doctor, and by now, you know, his nurse knows that I'm kind of screams about shots. So basically, when she gets ready to give it to me, she started talking about something else. And she asked me a question, and while I'm trying to ask her, she pops me. Yeah, but it hurts, but it's quick.
It's quick.
Oh, it's done. It hurt. Y'all don't hear me this morning. Whatever you're going through, it came to pass. And in that passage we just left, it says it is all things of what? In him, what? Through him, what? For him. Let's do that again. In him, through him, for him. Now, if you got some agenda that's beside him, we're in trouble. I never, even in Old Testament, I never stopped to see where God formed the committee to determine what he should do. With Israel, please. With us, please. Oh, God, help us. So your peace is guaranteed through him. One more verse of scripture, and I'm going to point out something that I picked up as it relates to the ministry. Let's go to, I think that's 1 Thessalonians 2:19. 2:19 and 20. As we read this, you look around sometimes and we look like the ministry, as far as how me and Gates ministry, it's not making a whole lot of progress. Depends upon what gauge you're using. Paul died alone.
Yes, sir.
You know that when he writes that last letter there? He said what? Demas has what?
Demas have forsaken me.
Having what? Then he speaks to some others. And he said, I'm here what?
Alone.
And so one would probably look at the end of this servant of God's life and say he was a colossal failure, executed by the most wicked of all leaders of that time, Nero. He wasn't close enough to God to pray that God would come and deliver him. Paul didn't even pray that prayer. You know what eternal enlightenment and eternality does for you in comprehension? It takes you above the seen into the essence of the unseen.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
And it relegates the seen to purpose. God has a purpose. Whatever is going on with you this morning, God has a purpose. That thing didn't just come out of the clear blue somewhere. It showed up because God has use for it. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I don't have no use for it. It's not about me. And yet 2,000 years later, after he has been abandoned by all and executed, this message of grace is alive and well. Oh, give the God, give the Lord a praise. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Because it's all about God. It's not about us. Brother Deacon, just read that 19th and 21st. Give me 10 minutes and I'm going to just bail out this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, when we come back in the fall, we get into this, that I was reading this morning, a few Sundays, you're going to be here a little while longer. Not a long time, but a little while now. Now, remember now, it took us, what, 4.5 years to go through the first 5 parts of that volume 1. Volume 2 is 5 parts. And we're going to try to get through there in about 1.5 years. Which means that there are going to be some sessions that will be a little longer than others. Because don't you want to get back to the matrix?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. Because the more you know about what's going on,
right,
the better you're able to deal with it.
That's right.
And that's some crazy things going on around us. And to us. Some of us. Strange.
Amen.
But in tribulation, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that have come not to kill you, but to try you.
That's right.
To prove you.
That's right.
And what you know makes all the difference in the world. Mm-hmm. Don't you ever believe what you don't know won't hurt you. What you don't know can be lethal. Mm-hmm. What you don't know can mess you up.
Right.
And so, well, if I don't know, hey, if something's going to hit me, say, well, I don't really want to know what did, I never know what hit me. No, even if it's only a moment, I want to know. But if I have confidence in him,
yes.
Perfect love does what?
Yes.
All fear. Now in this ministry, he had hoped to come to these Thessalonians, and they were having trouble. They were floating in the middle of rumors. And one of the rumors that had unnerved them the most is that some time had passed since the Lord had manifestly gone off the scene. And there was persecution going on, and God's people were being killed.
Oh, yes.
And it seemed that there was no end to it. Then someone shows up and said, hey, the the resurrection that the Lord promised has passed. Can you imagine your state of mind if someone could ever come and tell you that the resurrection is past? Which means what? And you still here? You missed it. But of course, we know from our gospel that's impossible. But these Thessalonians didn't know that at that time. You know what follows the rapture, don't you? Tribulation. So we're at the tribulation. And on purpose, God's purpose, Paul and company were hindered from getting there. Now in the passage before and after seeing the previous verse, it says by Satan, and of course Satan has his role. That's in manifestation. Of course, you know from the story of Job, he can't do anything except what God is purposed. But what he expresses in this verse is, whether I'm there, whether I'm not there, there are some things that you must know. Read verse 19 and 20 from the King James, and then from the Greek, and then we'll conclude for the day.
We're reading from the book of 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter.
Now understand this now. This is based on the fact that all of these rumors were there and their faith was waning and they were afraid. By the way, don't ever let anybody convince you that you missed the rapture.
Yes, amen.
Even on your worst day.
That's right.
But he couldn't get there, so here's what he points to in evidence. Read.
Again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, King James Version.
Everybody got it, amen? Read.
For what is our hope or joy or crown or rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Verse 20. For ye are our glory and joy.
Now, let's go to the Greek because they interjected verb in there that doesn't belong. Read.
Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, interlinear Greek text. What for of us hope?
Stop. You didn't say ills, did you?
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You see that ills is what?
In the italics.
It's bracketed too. But when we see the Greek pronoun imong, it is, what is that, brother Deacon? The case.
Case. It is.
Genitive. Genitive.
Yes.
Genitive.
Yes.
Genitive. I'm looking at the ending there.
Absolutely.
Look at the ending. Talking about source.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What of your what?
Mm-hmm.
Hope.
Hope.
What is the source of your what?
Joy.
What is the source of your what?
Joy.
And
crown.
Uh huh.
Or boasting.
A testimony. Or praising.
Mm-hmm.
I leave you with this. What is the source of it? Well, I got a raise on my job, and no. What did he say? Are ye what?
Not even ye before the Lord of us.
Before are in his presence. How, and this goes back to the conference that we're in here. How are you in God's presence? Well, we came together and the time of glory came down and that we was in. How can you not be in God's presence if you are in him?
That's right.
How can you be absence of God's presence and in him? And he said, aren't you in God's presence? Aren't you in him? Whether Paul shows up or never shows up, amen, your joy, your hope, your crown of righteousness is in him. Can't you see in him? Can't you see in him? It's all about him. Give him a praise this morning. Give him a praise. Give him a praise. Give him a praise.